My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. In January of 1998, I lost my partner Judy after a courageous 3-year odyssey with cancer. Our relationship was life-changing and affirming, with lessons on healing, personal and spiritual growth, and a deeper understanding of why people are brought together for these lessons. That relationship opened the way to wonderful and beautiful things that I would come to share with others in the ensuing years. It also brought the synchronicity of meeting other people who shared common experience and how it changed their lives. A few years ago, I had the synchronistic blessing of meeting Stacy and Larry Overman through a podcast that I co-hosted and produced. They became wonderful friends, but I did not know their story until Stacy reached out to me last year and asked if I would read and review her new book. When I finished the book, there were tears in my eyes and warmth in my heart. This was the recognition of someone who traveled a path similar to mine and also emerged with new insights and a deeper connection to spirit and the angelic realm. Stacy Overman worked in the corporate world many years. She used her God-given supernatural gifts of knowledge and discernment to help inspire and motivate her clients. She never understood the profundity of these gifts until a few years after her near-death experience while battling cancer and the loss of her soulmate to cancer. It started coming together after she appeared on 2 seasons of sci-fi's hit TV show, Ghost Mime. This is when she began to meet other people like her that helped to explain what she was experiencing was real and she wasn't crazy. She now coaches beautiful souls how to heal from trauma, fear and anxiety, so they can understand divine messages and align with their soul's purpose. It allows them to live a life of peace, joy, and experience more miracles here on earth. Her website is stacyoverman.com, and she joins me this week to discuss her deeply personal and life-affirming book, Angel Kisses, No More Cancer, An Emotional Journey of Love, Loss, Courage, and Hope. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited my friend Stacy Overman. Welcome, Stacy.
Oh, thank you, Victor. It's so exciting to be here and such an honor to now know this other part of your own journey as well.
Absolutely. And I think during the course of this discussion we're going to have this evening, I'm going to share some of the things that I experienced and show the synchronicity of how, when we're open to spirit, when we're open to these wonderful lessons, all of these miracles start to happen. So let's start with your personal story and your early path. What was your upbringing like and your faith basis?
Oh, love it. You know, it's really interesting because I came to know religion from a father that was raised Catholic and a mother that they never really had a specific church. They just kind of bounced around and more of the holiday attending. And we, as growing up in that family, we bounced around for a while, different churches, nothing really fit right. And then as I got older, we found a Methodist-based church that seemed to resonate for our family. And so I would say in my probably high school years, that was the church that resonated for me because that's where my family went. And as I grew out of being in the household, I then went on a search to find what fit me better. And so my adult life, I was a part of a non-denominational Christian church and literally was going to Bible study every Wednesday for about 10 years. I never missed a Sunday. And so my faith, spirituality was all about the understanding of the Bible and what I was learning in church. So that's really my upbringing. It was like clear up until I got diagnosed with breast cancer. That's where I was.
And did you have a sense during this time, you had mentioned about having these wonderful gifts that you have. Did you have a sense about them, about being empathic or psychic in any way?
You know, the funny thing is I really didn't understand that language, right? Like I wasn't around anyone that spoke psychic, empath. Like I didn't know those terms, but I knew that there was something different that I had, that was supernatural. You know, it's like in church, they speak supernatural gifts and the gift of discernment. I knew I had the gift of discernment. I knew that I had the gift of knowing. And so that was the language that I understood. And so when I started meeting people later on that spoke psychic, empath, clairs, I was blown away because I had never heard it. It was like, where was I all my life? Like, I've never even heard these words. But I knew I had something. Like, literally, when I was in corporate America, I remember this one story so clearly. I went to my boss and I was telling her how my clients tell me things I shouldn't know. And I'm guiding them on things I shouldn't know. Like literally, I'm just getting this knowledge. And I always thought, you know, God's just working through me. Every day I went to work, I prayed, God, just use me as a vessel of your love. May they see something within me that they want, you know, help me to shed that for them so that they will want to know the Lord. And people would shut the door. I mean, I was in title and escrow for crying in the night, and I would know everything, like too much about these people. And as an empath, knowing what an empath is now, I'm like, I could feel their pain. There was just something there. They had to tell me everything. I mean, I had the best clients. They always wanted to talk with me. I was like the counselor and I was the title rep. It was just so bizarre. And my boss was like, why do they do that? None of the rest of the people on our sales team has this, but your connection with people is so deep. And I even told her one time, I said, you know, I live my life for the paychecks of the heart. Not the paycheck that you give me.
Wonderful. You know, you use the expression, the gift of discernment. For those who don't understand that, what does that mean?
Well, discernment, you know, it's so funny because I was just actually teaching a little program this week about discernment. Discernment is also, for those of us that understand clairs, it's like clairsentience. It's about feeling whether it's truth, feeling whether it's a lie, feeling really being able to understand what's coming through. So when you're in that feeling sense, does this feel truth? Does this feel like it's from God? Is there a feeling? Clairsentience goes even deeper, of course, as you know, but it's about the feeling that you get. Can you discern whether this is good or bad? Can you discern whether, you know, evil, dark, whatever you want to call that, the shadow side, the light side? It's about discerning what's coming through. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like so many, your first marriage unfortunately turned toxic. You loved your husband, but a point came that it was time to go. Please share with us what happened and how you mustered the courage to make that decision.
Oh, my goodness. Well, being in a church background, my limiting belief was one and done, right? You marry for life until death do you part. And so everything about me was trying to do what was right in what I thought God's eyes. And so after 2 years is when I had the aha knowing that this was not, I should have had discernment back then. This was not where I needed to be anymore, and that there was a lot of lies happening, but I couldn't get out. I didn't know how to get out. I didn't know how to make it on my own with my daughter. And so I stuck it out. We went to church counseling and things like that for years. And we just became more and more like oil and water. I tried to leave a few times, and the first time I left and actually filed for divorce, I went to church and I was sitting in church, and lo and behold, he actually went with me, which was like a miracle. And I heard a loud booming voice that day sitting in the pew when a different pastor was praying. I turned my head to the right to see who was talking, and I had also gotten a vision at the very same time. And everyone's looking at me like, what are you looking at us for? And then I leaned over and asked my husband at the time, I said, did you hear that? He's like, no. I just heard the prayer. What are you talking about? This was the very first time that I recognized God had spoke to me. And I heard loud and clear that I was to stay with him. And I had an image of him getting baptized and me pulling and grabbing his hand to pull him out of the water. It was amazing. So I don't know how much further we should go or if we want to take a little break. But
no, go ahead. Keep going.
More.
Keep going.
Go.
Yeah,
okay.
Get a minute and a half.
Good. Perfect. So then instead of being separated any longer, we got back together. And we were going to renew our vows. And a few months later, he got baptized, which I was like, that was the vision. That's what I heard. Not knowing anything about being psychic or medium or anything like that. So we lasted another 5 years. And then I had to get out again because the same cycles started happening all over and all over again, which now I understand if we don't deep soul heal from these cycles will continue. And it wasn't until one day a light switch went off and I was like, I've got to go. And I finally was okay with it. And that's the thing. So many people said, you got to get out. You got to get out. You need to get out. But you can't leave until you're ready to leave. Like, there's nothing anybody can say until you're ready.
We're going to pick up on this point after the break because I think this is really important. There's a lot of people out there in relationships like this who need to understand to muster that courage and to make that choice. My guest is Stacey Overman. She's the author of Angel Kisses, No More Cancer, An Emotional Journey of Love, Loss, Courage, and Hope. And we'll be back with more of Stacey after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Why should you volunteer with Meals on Wheels?
I'll come to the door with one meal and I'll walk away with a full heart.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Stacey Overman. She's the author of the book Angel Kisses, No More Cancer, An Emotional Journey of Love, Loss, Courage, and Hope. So Stacey, before the break, we were talking about how you mustered the courage to finally end your first marriage, which was a toxic marriage. What advice would you give to those who are in toxic relationships right now and really need to move for their own sake and the sake of their children and their own emotional and psychological health?
Wow, that is so deep and so personal. You know, it's for each person, there's a different scenario. And as an outsider and a friend and someone that cares about you, you know, they're going to say things like, let me help you get out. Let's move you this weekend. But you and I both know that until that switch flips and you are at a point where your peace and your happiness and your sanity is more important than the house, than the things, and then the fear of the unknown, that's the only time that you can actually say, okay, let's go and ask for help, right? Like, ask for help. I can't stress enough, like, how important my Bible study girlfriends were back then. Like, they were always there for me, but they also didn't pressure me. So I would say, you know, sit in prayer, sit in meditation when you can, if you can actually calm your mind to listen to what God has to say, because only you're going to know when that time is ready. And if you're in need of help because of abuse, like physical abuse, I say call and get help and get out of that situation for sure. But if it's not physical abuse and you just need to go, know that God will find a way to take care of you. Like, step out in faith, knowing that it's going to be okay. Because if you take 3 more years worrying, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? I don't know where this is going to come, right? Worry never got us anything. And I'll tell you, to this day, like, my bills were covered. I was able to maintain. Did I eat applesauce a few times? Absolutely. You know, it's like, but it was worth my sanity. And it was worth knowing that I don't need to keep the house. I don't need to keep the things. I literally had friends bring me lawn chair furniture, and I slept on an air mattress in this living room in front of a fireplace because I couldn't afford to turn the heat on. But it's going to be okay. You know, it's just step out and know that you're doing what's right for you. Because when we're in situations like that, we can't speak our truth. We're not living to our fullest potential. We came to this life to be this amazing soul, have a human experience, to live out whatever that purpose is that you came here. And when we're stuck in that situation, we're trapped in a bubble for until you can say, I'm standing in my power and I'm going to step out in faith and be who I came here to be.
Not just toxic relationships, but even employment situations, yes, where you feel disrespected or you feel you're being demeaned. If you don't make the change, it's not going to happen without you getting engaged. Right. You know, exactly. God will help, Spirit will help, but you have to also work with the Spirit and act, because without action, nothing's going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the same with, you know, manifesting abundance. You can't sit on your couch and say, I want to have a new house and a new job and a new this and a new that, and not walk out the door and take action, right? Like, the universe and God's going to help you, but you've got to take movement. You've got to take action. You've got to step out and do something.
There's a wonderful old story about a very religious, very pious man who went to his house of worship one day, and he got down in front of the altar and he said, God, my wife needs surgery, and I can't afford it. Please let me win the lottery this week. And a week goes by, and nothing happens. And he gets down on his knees again the next week, and he says, God, I don't understand. I've never asked for anything for myself. This is for my wife. She needs this operation. Let me win the lottery. Another week goes by, and nothing happens. And this time, he's crying. He's in tears. He's rending his clothes. God, I don't understand. What would you have me do? And a voice says, buy the ticket. If we don't buy the ticket, we're not going to win. That's it.
Right?
That's it.
Someone's not going to knock on your door and say, here's $1 million.
That's right.
It's just, that's it. Ed McMahon don't work that way.
That's it. Now, prior to your marriage ending, you had been on a softball team where you met a very special man, your coach. Tell us about Hank.
Yeah. Oh, an amazing man, really. So funny, because for years and years, we played on softball teams playing against each other. And my team and his team, we would always battle for first place every year. And then one year he combined the team, so we had a powerhouse team, and I actually was on the same team that he coached. We were friends. Coach, you know, he was my coach. I knew and respected him as a TV producer in town. Every once in a while, he would hire me and my daughter to be on TV commercials and stuff for him. I went to a baby shower for his kids when they were born, and we had a lot in common, but it was a little more than acquaintances. You know, it's like, you know the person, you respect them, but you don't really know them, if that makes sense. You know, they're on the team. Yeah. And so we played together on that team for a few years. And when I went through my divorce, he was actually dying of cancer. Whew, I gotta get a little emotional every once in a while when I touch on that. And so
did you know this up to that point? Did you know this?
I had known, let me back up. It was about 4 months before I actually got the courage to leave my husband at that time. I found out that he was dying of cancer, and I didn't really know because I was out of the loop. It was winter. We weren't playing softball, and we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have text messaging or any of that kind of stuff. So unless it was in the paper or you heard from someone or you got a phone call, you didn't really know these things. So I had lunch with him and I said, what can I do to help the family? What can I do to help you? And we came to an agreement that I was going to put on a fundraiser for him. And unfortunately, I couldn't be at the fundraiser because I was being flown to Canada to win an award for work during that time. Well, it happened to be the highest winnings, I guess, if you want to say, fundraiser that his family ever had. I think we raised just under $4,000 for his family. And shortly after that, he had surgery to debulk all of the rare form of gastrointestinal cancer that he had in that abdomen area. And at the time, his wife didn't think that he was going to survive. And so the family was there, I guess. Of course, I'm telling you his story. And they're all calling like, where's his wife? Where's his wife? And she didn't come back to the hospital. She called to see how the surgery went. And they're like, he's alive. He's alive. He wasn't supposed to make it. Where are you? She hangs up the phone and has divorce papers delivered to him.
Oh, my.
So that's just, you know, heartbreaking and crazy. And here he's, you know, battling for his life. And he's got two little babies. Like, they're 18 months apart, so like 1 and 2.5-ish. And so he is just devastated. He wasn't even supposed to survive. Well, I didn't know if he had actually even made the surgery because I was now in my own turmoil of leaving and getting moved out. And it wasn't until March that my ex-husband now calls me and says, your coach called and you've got a softball practice coming up because softball's starting. Make sure you give him your new number. You know, he's all grumpy because a guy calls for me. And I am jumping for joy because I hadn't even heard that he survived that long.
Now, what year was this?
This was like 2006.
Okay.
Let me back up. 2004.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did your relationship ensue, and how did you support him in his struggle with cancer?
Absolutely. Well, it's really interesting because immediately I'm like, woohoo. So we get out there to play softball, and I'm like, wow, he's doing so much better than anyone ever expected. It's a miracle. And he was on a break from chemo. And we started playing softball that season, and we were about 3 months in, I would guess. And we kind of started talking about, yeah, we're both back in the dating world and whew, red flags and holy cow, how is this even going on? Neither one of us expected to be doing that. And one night we realized that we both didn't have the kids at the same time. And so I said, well, hey, why don't you meet me? And here I'm like at a sports bar because I knew some other people going and I've never been a sports bar kind of person. But you know, dating world, you do weird things that you never didn't expect to do again. So we meet there and silly me didn't realize he can't even drink because he's still battling this thing and he's still on medication. And so he's drinking his iced tea and we're chatting away at this sports bar. And next thing I know, he says, well, you wouldn't consider going on a date with me, would you?
Mm.
And my mouth just drops. Like, we've known each other for 17 years as a coach, as a friend, you know, that's it. And I hadn't thought about that. Like, it never even crossed my mind. And he says, I went to the restroom and then came back and then told him my answer. I don't remember it that way. So we always used to laugh about that. It was like the longest wait ever. But I remember saying I'd give it a shot, right? Like, well, I already knew him, respected him on all these other levels. I just didn't know him as like a boyfriend type feel. And so, long story short, we finally started dating and it was working out. And I had a knowing, I hear that discernment thing again. I had a knowing that I was going to spend what I thought was the rest of our life together, which meaning mine too. I did not realize that it would be the rest of his life together. And there was this one day that I said, I have to tell you something. And he was like saying, no, I have to tell you something. So finally I gave in to let him talk first. And this was the night in August of that year that he said he loved me, and I'm crying. And I'm like, that's what I was going to tell you. Mm-hmm. And then we fast forward to September, the first softball game in September. And he asks me to marry him in the middle of a softball game.
And we're going to hold on that point. My guest is Stacey Overman. She's the author of Angel Kisses, No More Cancer, An Emotional Journey of Love, Loss, Courage, and Hope. Stacey, tell our listeners, please, where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Absolutely. You can find my book on Amazon. Just Google my name, Stacey Overman, or Google in Amazon's search bar, Angel Kisses, No More Cancer. And I would love to talk with you. You can find me on Facebook, but my website, StaceyOverman.com, would be a great place to start.
And Stacey will continue her story with Hank after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Stacey Overman. She's the author of Angel Kisses, No More Cancer, An Emotional Journey of Love, Loss, Courage, and Hope. So before the break, you were talking about how Hank came to you at that baseball game and proposed. Continue, please.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the proposal was pretty fun and amazing. He had an ump call me out for wearing jewelry, which at the time, I was a little irritated with men just going through a divorce. And I was like, I'm not wearing any jewelry. I've been playing ball for like 20 some years. And he's like, batter is out for wearing jewelry. Take it up with your coach. And as my coach, Hank, is slowly smiling, walking out to the home plate, I start yelling at the ump, which is so unlike me. And I'm like, in all the 20 years I've played ball, I'm not wearing jewelry. Oh, for crying in the night. And I turn around to Hank and said, would you take care of this? And he's kneeling over home plate, holding a ring for me to put on. It was amazing. And he bought a new batter's glove for me to put over the ring so that it was technically okay for me to wear jewelry while playing ball. It was so sweet, right? And so then the other team's like, well, is she really out? What's going on? Everybody's so confused. And the ump was in on the whole thing. So then I got up to bat after that was done, and I hit a home run. I hit the ball clear over the fence. It was just amazing. So all that adrenaline, I went from being totally ticked off to totally crying and in awe and happy. So fun. So then you ask how I supported him. So this is a really interesting thing. Because I still had the whole religious background and wanting to do things right in God's eyes, I didn't want to just live together because I wanted every single one of my prayers that went up to be answered for this man that I'm in love with. So we had dinner with the pastor and his wife on a Sunday in November. And we told him all the reasons why we shouldn't get married yet, because we both just went through a divorce and this is like really fast. And then we told him all the reasons why we needed to get married, because he needed help. He was starting another round of chemo. He couldn't take care of the kids. And by that evening, we had made a decision to marry on Saturday. So literally not even 7 days to plan a wedding. And that Saturday, all of our family happened to be coming for Thanksgiving weekend, and so everyone would have been there. So it was perfect. We had standing room only in the church. We didn't have time to make invitations. It was just calling everyone we knew. We had not a dry eye in the house because of being a TV producer, as you can imagine, he created a slideshow to play before the wedding started, and Garth Brooks' If Tomorrow Never Comes song was played. We got married, and we even turned the whole church around so that if he needed to run to the restroom because of being sick, he just started chemo again, he could exit really quickly and come back to finish the wedding. And that didn't have to happen. But literally, my goal was to make him feel in love so that he could live longer. Because as you know, Victor, like when we feel like we're in love, mm-hmm. we don't need food. We don't need sleep. Like we're just on cloud nine and everything is wonderful. And all you want to do is just be with this person, right? And so I lived that way every single day as if it was his last, and that I wanted him to feel in love every day.
That is so beautiful. And love is a very potent medicine. We know that very, very well. Now, how did you find out about your breast cancer?
So we're married a year and a half, and I was in the middle of a job change. So I was getting hired on at a mortgage company and leaving the title company. And everything was hush hush and secret where I was going, because there was a big marketing thing that was going to happen. So nobody knew my new cell phone number. I had given my old cell phone to my past employer, and I went to the mall and I was shopping for new business suits. And my phone kept ringing because this was the new phone my new employer gave me. And it was always the wrong number. It was like they thought it was a credit union number or something. I think it was one number off. Finally, this same number called six times and I answered. And it was my doctor. And I had just seen my doctor the last week I was at my old job because my insurance was going to change. And I had just had a mammogram. She says, oh, my goodness, I am so glad that I finally found you. And I'm like, what's going on? She goes, we found signs of microcalcifications of carcinoma. And I'm thinking to myself, what is she talking about? What is this? Carcinoma? Like, I'm dealing with cancer, but usually us lay people, we say cancer. We don't say carcinoma. As I'm grabbing onto the kiosk in the middle of the mall, trying to find something to write with, I feel like the air just left my entire lungs and I can't even breathe or focus. And she's telling me, I need you to come in again tomorrow for another mammogram, an ultrasound, and I have you scheduled to see a surgeon. And I'm just like, what? What? So I hang up the phone. I call Hank, and he's just like two buildings away from the mall. And I tell him, and he's like, get here, get here. I drive there. We sit in his office, and we both break down crying. And now I realize, you know, later why he's crying. He doesn't want me to go through what he's been going through. And we go through all the appointments that we have to go through, and they're literally like not waiting 1 second. They're like, tomorrow, your surgery's tomorrow. And it's really scary because you're just like, what the heck is going on? My whole life, everything is just, I've got a new job. And so literally Hank goes to my new job and tells them what's going on. And he's like, if you, you know, let us know now, if you don't want her to come to work for you, I'm going to my old employers, telling them and saying, oh my gosh, I don't even know if my new employer is going to want me. And they're accepting me to stay. And my new employer also said, no, we'll work through it and we'd like her to come. Mm. It was scary, like financially, in between insurance. But the weird thing was, God had everything so worked out. Like, Victor, it was so crazy that my new job was in the same building my husband worked in. Mm. And I could not drive on chemotherapy. I was on such heavy drugs. And he was able to drive me to work every day.
Your chapter in the book talking about this, you called it chemo dates, brought tears to my eyes, because when my partner, my late partner Judy, would go for chemo, I would always go with her and take her. And one of the things that would keep her mind off the fact that she was having the chemo was she loved my silly jokes. People, kids today call them dad jokes, but in those days, she loved them. And she would just laugh hysterically, and it would distract her from the fact that she was undergoing chemo. And I'd hold her hand the entire time, and then I'd take her home and keep her comfortable. And so when you talk about chemo dates, I understand. But the synchronicity, the God wink, the divine intervention here of you two being together through this process is very special.
It very, very. I mean, I could not have planned it any better. Like, not knowing what we were coming through, God aligned everything up exactly as it needed to be. It was amazing. Yeah, we would spend, oh my gosh, we would get to the cancer center on every other Friday. We would get there about 11, anywhere between 11 and 12, and we would stay to close the place down. So I always said, why are we not getting mani and pedis at the same time? We would sit in the chairs, hold hands, and he would get hooked up and I would get hooked up, and we would both turn green, you know, just sick as could be. And God bless him that he was able to drive, because not I. Oof.
Please share with our listeners about Hank's final days.
Yes. We came to the abyss many times. There was so many times they said, oh, he's only got 2 weeks left to live. And he would live six more months, right? He was a fighter. He wanted to live so bad for his family. It was unbelievable. And finally, this one day, I'm off driving him to the emergency room. He was in the emergency room, or in the hospital for 30 days. We came home knowing that we were to put everything in order and that he had only 2 weeks. And bless his heart, he lived longer than 2 weeks again. But I had 2 weeks to make his bucket list all checked off and get everything taken care of. Mm. And a few months later, reminiscing here. He wanted everything to be perfect. So they had a work party in our house to fix things, paint things so that I would be okay. Everyone come to visit. And then he was on hospice. And then there was this moment that all of a sudden he wanted to get out of bed. And we're like, what? You can't get out of bed yet. What? What? Okay. So we're holding him. And Victor, I don't even think I put this in the book. I can't even remember, but he wrapped his arm around me and his little feet were stepping like he was walking, but we were walking in place. And he says, come on, come on. And I kept saying, where are we going? Where are we going? He goes, come on, come on. And his arm was holding so tight on me. And later I've learned that he wanted to take me with him.
Mm.
he was seeing the other side. And whew, speechless here, just so heartwarming that we had such a connection, that he didn't want to go without me. And that day, the sun was so beautiful, and we got him outside. We climbed up into the kids' tree house that he had made for them. We got family photos sitting on the tree and in the tree house together. And that was the last day that he got out of bed. The next day, he went into kind of a coma state for about 3 days. And I sung to him and I read to him, and we played videos of his girls singing songs. And then all of a sudden, he took his last breath. And, you know, well, let me back up. Like, I actually seen, I forgot to tell you this part. I seen angels and I seen loved ones line up around our bed a few days earlier. And I thought, I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm really going crazy. But that last day, he took his breath. Our dogs started barking because they seen something as his spirit left. And it was so beautiful, such an honor to be by his side at that moment.
Thank you for sharing that. I know how emotional and how personal that was. And thank you, because there are so many people who are undergoing loss right now and who have lost others late last year, that your message is so reassuring. And we're going to talk about messages, and we're going to talk about angels and all of the work that you do with angels in the next segment. My guest is Stacey Overman. She's the author of Angel Kisses, No More Cancer, An Emotional Journey of Love, Loss, Courage, and Hope. We'll be back with Stacey after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact You Gotta Believe at YouGottaBelieve.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Stacey Overman. She's the author of Angel Kisses, Cancer No More, and I'm sorry, No More Cancer, An Emotional Journey of Love, Loss, Courage, and Hope. So we were talking about how you had this initial understanding or connection with angels. How did that happen?
Wow. Well, a week before Hank passed away, I was sitting on our bed while he was taking a nap. I was working on my laptop. And now, mind you, we lived in an old house built in 1913, and our bedroom was on like the third story. So nothing could make shadows unless a bird flew by the window. However, out of my peripheral vision, I could see movement, and I had a feeling and a knowing that there were loved ones on the other side of the veil in heaven lining up around our bed, and two of them were really large figures, and they were angels. And I would look right at where I could see them in my peripheral, and they would disappear, and I couldn't see them again. I'd look at my computer again and stop focusing where they're at. I could see them again. And it was interesting because I'd never met the individuals that were in heaven, but I knew that they were family of Hank's. And I, for some reason, just knew what their name was. And, you know, I just knew what I knew what I knew, and I don't know why. And I emailed my oncologist nurse because I said, I think I'm going crazy. This is what just happened. And thank goodness she was sitting at the desk at that time. She replied right back and she says, you're not crazy. Many times caregivers of loved ones that are passing have expressed experiencing these kinds of things. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I didn't want to quit looking at my computer because I could sense and feel these beings in our room. So when he woke up, I didn't want to scare him or freak him out, but I asked him, did you have any dreams while you were sleeping? He proceeds to tell me the three individuals that I knew in heaven were visiting him. And that was when I told him what I experienced. I mean, he had like 1 foot on both sides of the veil. He was like half in heaven and half here. He was waking up every night telling me something more that I needed to know. My first husband was already in on the other side of the veil because he had passed 6 months earlier in a plane crash. He was having messages from him coming through. And this was not our normal practice. We didn't understand a psychic reading, mediumship reading. We didn't talk that language. So that was my first experience really understanding an angel was in the presence of myself. After he passed away, I started experiencing these kind of things on a regular basis. And unfortunately, because it wasn't in my belief system, I was popping one more Ambien, drinking one more glass of wine. I'm like, I don't want to see this stuff. I don't know what to do with this stuff. This is freaking me out. And it took me a couple of years before I could get to the point where I was like meeting people like you had mentioned earlier that were sensitive like me. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, this is a thing. This is real. This is something that I actually can connect with and do something with and help others. And that was the one thing with my late husband, with Hank, was we kept telling each other that our battle, our struggle was not about us. It was about who we could help. It was about other people that we were inspiring. It was all about everyone else. It wasn't about us. And that's when I realized I had to flip my perception to figure out how to embrace these gifts that are coming through. And I realized at that moment, we've put God in a box.
Absolutely. Angel names have various different meanings. Most of the major angel names end in El, which is Hebrew for God. So Raphael means God heals. Michael or Mikael means who is like God. Chamuel means the heat of God. Do you have a favorite angel?
Oh my gosh. Well, in the beginning, I just want to give kudos to Michael because Archangel Michael was present with me and patient with me for many years. I thought that I was to be the representative of his message. When I realized later, and they kind of laugh at me, you know, laugh with me, I should say, he was just easiest for me to recognize he was with me. And now I understand there's a host of angels that actually work through me. So Michael's always my go-to. I work with Archangel Raphael a lot with healing and healing not only myself, but helping others to heal with him. And then I work with Chamuel a lot as well for love and that beautiful heart chakra energy, right? Like those are my three go-tos that I know are always working and helping me, but I know there's more, right? And in my book, it's interesting because I channeled messages from them. And sometimes it was just a collective message from all of them. And sometimes one angel over another would step forth to be like the speaker, like the one that's presenting it. But it always came from the collective, the host of the entire angels. Mm. But yeah, Michael, Shamuel, Raphael, those are my three best buds that really helped me a lot.
I have an interesting story. It's a familial angel story and my first real experience with understanding angels. Back in the early 90s, when I got involved with Reiki healing at one of the classes, the teacher, the Reiki master, had asked all of us to do an exercise in which we go within for meditation and see whatever popped into our minds. Mm-hmm. And when I did, I saw this winged being, mm-hmm. and I said, I think it's an angel. And he said, ask the angel its name. And I did, and it said, Gabriel. I got home that night, and my daughter, who I believe was 10 or 11 at the time, I said, do you want to experience this thing that I do now called Reiki? And she said, yes. And I put my hands in the back of her head. And a few minutes later, she said, Daddy, she said, I see all of the people in our family who have died. And she started naming or describing people who she had never met that had died before she was born. Wow. And then she said, and then there's an angel flying above them. I said, what's the angel's name? She goes, Gabriel. The same day, and I had not given her any indication of this or said anything to her. So, so that's the my first experience with angels. Let me ask you something: can anyone connect with angels?
You know, it's my belief that we can. However, there is the thing that I've channeled from the angels is they use the metaphor of removing the blankets. And what that means is like removing the limiting beliefs and healing. We've got to do the inner work to start healing so that we can remove that limiting belief that we're not supposed to see angels. So we can remove the limiting belief that, you know, there's so much more than we've ever been told. And so as you remove these things, as you do that inner mastery work and healing yourself, it thins the veil, for a lack of a better term. I just am like, it thins the veil. And then all of a sudden you start beginning to experience things that you never knew was possible. So can everyone see them? Maybe not. If your God-given supernatural gift isn't seeing, but you might sense them. You may sense their presence. You may hear them. And so it just depends on the level of healing. Now, otherwise, if you're like in an accident and it's not your time to go, you may sense an angel because they're going to step in and they're going to be there to help make sure that you're not going to be passing away yet because it's not your time. But you know, there's always exceptions. You may see them, even though you haven't healed like I did. I seen them that week that Hank was passing, and I hadn't done the inner work yet. So whatever's supposed to happen, yes, I believe we all have the power and the capability of working with angels, sensing angels, and communicating.
How did you come up with the title of your book, Angel Kisses?
Oh, wow. Well, Larry, my husband now, we had moved from Oregon to Texas, and I had a dream, and the angels were coming to me in a dream, which that's another powerful way to communicate with angels. And I woke up with that title, Angel Kisses, No More Cancer. And I wrote it down, and I was like, oh my gosh, is this my book? What is this? And I literally named my YouTube channel after it. I named a Facebook page after it. Like I knew I was supposed to use that title in some form or fashion. And so then fast forward a few years, all of a sudden I was like, that's my book. That's the name of my book.
Wonderful. What are the coaching programs that you offer, especially like the New You program? What's that like?
Oh my gosh, this is so amazing. I've worked with men, but mostly I work with really high achieving women that feel a little disconnected from God, from source, right? They feel like they're doing this alone. And we can get them to where they're doing that inner work to healing so that they can live with more happiness, peace, and joy in their life, and they're reconnected to their true self and with God. So some people come in, I have different levels. Some people come in my mastermind, which where they work with me for a whole year, and I hold their hand and we walk through it together, and we don't even have to be in the same place, just like you and I. It's all via video conferencing. And then we have a couple of times in the year where we get together in person somewhere beautiful, but we walk together and do the deep soul healing together. And then we walk together and understand what their supernatural gifts are and how to use them and how to embellish them. And then we understand a little bit more about what their soul purpose is. And then we really start to co-create the life that they really want to live and how they want to serve others, because it isn't about us. It's about what our soul came here to do, to help shift the consciousness of the planet, to really anchor in that Christ consciousness light into the world. And so even if they just want to change their self and be a beautiful role model for their family, that's great. But also many of them figure out that, hey, I'm supposed to be a spiritual leader at somehow, some way. And I walk them through how to get to that point.
Amen. Amen. My guest is Stacy Overman. Her book is Angel Kisses, No More Cancer. Stacy, please tell our audience one more time where they can get your book and find out more about you and this wonderful work.
Absolutely. You can get my book on Amazon. It's available. You can either get the ebook or the hard copy. And I also had another book come out that pairs with that, and it's Angel Kisses Every Day, the journal. So wonderful to have together. And you can find me at stacyoverman.com or on Facebook.
Stacy, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this wonderful message. And send my love to Larry, will you?
I will.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Merman. Have a wonderful week.